I hear the trumpet sounding. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Don't have long to stay here. Eternal God, our Father, God of grace, God of mercy, God of love and the God of compassion. Again, we thank you for the Johnson family, for their love for you and for each other, for the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. Continue to smile on them and grant them the desires of their heart. We thank you for those who are visiting with us, even from the motherland, that you would take them safely back home, and may they take the experience of this worship with them and find joy in sharing the good news of Christ. We thank you for this preacher soloist, reminding us that God has been good to us. In the midst of the vicissitudes of life, life's ups and downs, we still have a God that's been good to us. Bless now the preached word. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in our sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For it's in the precious name of Christ that we promise to give you all the glory and the honor when the service has been completed. Again, we thank you for the visitors, and especially the one who 2 weeks ago received the invitation but made it today. Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. The people of God said, amen. Our text today starts off with an interrogative sentence. The man of God in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is the son of Amos. The Bible does not tell us a great deal about who his parents or who his father was. It shares with us that he is the son of Amos. What Isaiah tries to do is to bring the people of God, Judah, back to God. He tries to bring them back to God, and they have wandered away from him. And he interjects the words of God speaking to the people of God. Thank God for the book of Isaiah, for it's in the book of Isaiah that we learn about the coming of the Christ child, and that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and that the government shall be upon his shoulder. It is in the book of Isaiah, in that 40th chapter, that we find in that first verse, God, knowing the calamities that will fall upon his people, writes to the prophet and tells the prophet, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. Speak comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It is in that Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and following, we find these words, the interrogative sentence, and following the interrogative sentence, the sentence that asks a question, we find declaratory sentences that telling what is to be. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, can you help me? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor the question, why wait? There are several reasons why we should wait. I need to share with you where I got the subject from. I was driving down 35, and I looked up, and I saw a lottery sign that says, why wait? It was an encouragement to play the lottery. But thanks be to God that we who wait on the Lord know that he blesses us in the way that he chooses to bless us. In my experiences and travel, I was in Kansas City, Missouri in 1977, October. I was there for a Masonic event and there to receive the 33rd degree, the highest rank in Prince Hall Masonry. And as I was there, I decided that I would take a bus and ride around the city and see what I could see in the city. I knew only one person there in Kansas City, and that was Emmett Thomas, number 18, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs as defensive back, who later was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. It was there that I saw this old lady sitting at the bus stop, and I noticed buses coming by, and I wanted to catch the bus that she was going to catch. So about five buses passed, and I said to her, I said, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I said, you're waiting? And she helped me with this sermon. She says, yes, I'm waiting. I'm expecting a ride. I'm expecting a bus to come. I'm waiting. I have hope and expectation that the bus that I want to catch will come. I said, do you know the name of the bus? She said, not only do I know the name, I know the number of the bus. And she said, I am waiting. This helped me to understand that when we wait, we do not wait hourly. We do not wait without expectation, without hope. Notice what Isaiah said. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting is not for the purpose of limiting life, but of releasing life. Waiting is not to keep us from having a full life, but to help us find our life. Life ebbs and flows. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can I help us with three quick things, and then I'm out over here. First of all, why wait? Why wait? God takes possession of a person who waits. When one waits on God, God takes possession of the person who waits. When one waits on the Lord, God takes possession of you and uses you as an instrument of his will. In Judges chapter 6, We read, the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. Gideon's strength was renewed. Why had his strength left him? It had left him because he now finds Israel in a situation where it looks like God had left them. When a stranger passed by and said to him, "The Lord is with you," he questioned why the stranger would say, "The Lord is with you," knowing that the Spirit of the Lord had taken possession of Gideon. One discovers that Gideon was worried about the fact that God had brought them out of Egypt and looked like he had left them. There are times when God leads us to a spot or to a space and it looks like he has walked away from us. When we come to our Red Seas, can I help you here? Don't worry, just wait on the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You remember Israel, after the Hebrew nation had been put out of Egypt, they had been let go. Freedom had now come their way. They had been liberated from the Egyptians who had imprisoned them because of the fact that they grew. Oh, help me somebody. They did not invade the land, but because they were there, and the Bible says that the children of Israel began to grow. And as they began to grow, the Egyptians became jealous, and the Egyptians said, "Look, they are growing too fast for us. We need to do something about this." Sometimes in life, when you're on a job and it looks like God is blessing you, he's bringing your life to fulfillment on that job. It's somebody always on that job looking for a way to bring you down, looking for a way to imprison you, looking for a way to enslave you. But thanks be to God, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They are now standing by the Red Sea, and the question is, has God left us? When God brings you to a point, he brings you to a point and looks like you're not going any further, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Bible says that they began to murmur and question the leader. I don't know why folk always look at the leader and say something's wrong. Something's wrong with your leadership. Something's wrong with your plan. But can I help you here? God has a plan for every life, and he's working his plan out. He says, "I know the plan I have for you, to do you good and not to harm you, to bring you into a bright, into a better future." And so he says to Moses, as Moses reports to him about the people mumbling and complaining, he says to Moses, "Look, what's that you have in your hand? Stretch it out. Stretch it out. I don't know about you, but I've come to realize that whatever I got, God can use it. Whatever I have, if I stretch it out, there's a blessing in the stretching. There's a blessing in the faith that God will move." The Bible says that Moses said to the people, "Be still and watch. Wait and see what God will do." Gideon is aware that God has brought the children of Israel out of slavery. But now he sees the oppression that's coming their way. And so he's disturbed. And he says to himself, "Why wait? Why wait on God?" But I want to say to Gideon and to other Gideonites at Second Baptist, hold on. Wait on God. When one waits on the Lord, God takes possession of you. And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. It ought to be somebody in this place